I'll congratulate you on your new appointment as treasurer of the Richard Bentley Theatre Fund, but I never expected you to be so willing to help Mr. B.
I'm a big believer in the theatre as an art form.
Yeah, but it's been some time now since you was at the windmill. I suppose there couldn't be any personal gain in this, eh?
Personal gain? What? How dare you suggest such a thing?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And get your grubby hands off my new 50-guinea suit.
Yes, that's very smart, isn't it?
Well, don't give any more registered letters of arrival.
Right now.
I'd better get on with cooking, with balancing the books.
Oh, Jimmy.
Hello, the auditors are in.
Jimmy, I've just been reading our financial statement.
Something wrong, Bentley?
Yes. Jimmy, last week the Bentley Theatre Fund stood at £1,340.
Huh?
Since you took over as treasurer, there's been further donations of about £800. But according to this statement, the fund now stands at £25.
Oh, really? Much as that, oh. Very tidy sum.
How do you account for the deficit?
Well, I mean, naturally, there are certain expenses.
Expenses?
Well, I'm entitled to an expense account, aren't I? After all, they didn't get in, did they?
Jimmy, how can we possibly have spent £250 on stamps?
Well, I was a bit behind with my National Health self-employed person. I mean, how can I do this job efficiently if I'm worried over niggling little things like that?
All right, how about this? £50 on public relations. Was that a good thing?
Well, they all said it was. Last thing fell at the first hurdle. You're just being too small-minded about this campaign. We've got to think big. We've got to act big. We've got to put on a big front.
And that's where you come in.
Yes. Furthermore, I have engaged the services of a publicity expert.
So I see, at a salary of $2,000 a year.
And why not? A very sound chap, my brother-in-law. You know, he's got some wonderful ideas on publicity.
Yes.
And the first-class stunt when I rescue somebody from drowning.
Jimmy, this is the Richard Bentley Theatre. Remember? Where am I in all this?
Bobbing about in the sea at Brighton. That is, of course, until I rescue you.
But, Jimmy, I can't swim.
Well, neither can I.
Well, in that case, I might drown.
Well, then it'll be the Richard Bentley Memorial Theatre, won't it?
The Sunday Times, the paper with the brightest features. You haven't lived till you've read our obituary column.
Yes, the Sunday Times, as usual, first with the news. Take this week's front-page story.
Flare up in Downing Street.
Last night in Downing Street, small boy let off a firework.
Full of interesting features, such as racing with turquoise.
Once again, I was in form, luckily, with my nap. While I was asleep, I dreamt up the winner of the 3:30 at Newmarket. Unfortunately, I didn't wake up till 4 o'clock.
This week's new film by Dillis Fisher.
An attempt to copy the Scandinavian style of filmmaking is to be found this week in a new earthy British picture about passionate farmers. It is called Love Among the Turnips. Well, really, I can't help feeling the Swedes would have done it so much better.
Marriage Guidance by an ex Harley Street doctor.
Well now, Anxious of Twickenham. This is quite a common problem. When two people have been married as long as you have, that first flush of love undergoes a subtle change. It turns into something more permanent. Hatred. But don't worry, dear. If you and your husband hate each other as much as you say, then at least you've got that much in common. And this is often the basis for a happy marriage. Now, if any of you have any special marital problems, write to me in confidence. I do like a good laugh.
And so to our main feature. This week, the Sunday Times brings you the nostalgic memoirs of Britain's Queen of Musical Comedy. Billy Beck says,
I loved every minute of it. Yes, it's been a gay, exciting life, crowded with memories. Memories of success and failure. High spirits, low spirits, and sometimes no spirits at all. I know I shall never forget my 60 glorious years in the theatre. People often say to me, Vinny, darling, you're as young as ever. Well, I must say I don't feel 38. I began, as so many great stars began, in the chorus. The year was 1913, and the show, The Marquis and the Milkmaid.
Hold on, girls, hold on. Now, keep those parasols in line. Ready for the duet, Mr. Marchmont.
Where's Gabby?
Oh, she's quick. Didn't you see this morning's paper? She's married the Earl of
Hatton. Oh, isn't that just like her? And here I am, 3 days to opening night, and no leading lady.
Well, we'll have to find another one.
Just a moment. I say, you there in the chorus. The third in the left.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, the pretty one with the dimpled knees. Come here, girls. Do you know this duet?
Oh, well, I think so, Mr. Marchmont.
Well, let's try, shall we? George?
Tell me, pretty milkmaid, can I walk with you along the lane?
Of course you can, my lord. A girl alone gets awfully bored.
Then tell me, pretty milkmaid, can I walk with you perhaps again?
Kind sir, your boldness makes me dizzy. Such
indiscretion, quite insane. But pretty little milkmaid, my love is strong and true. I'll be content to walk through life carrying a can for you. I'll be content to walk through life having the can for you.
We'll do, George. Tell me, girl, what is your name?
Vinny Baxter.
Well, Vinny, you're going to be a big star.
I shall never forget that glamorous, glittering opening night. The show was a huge success, and afterwards, in my dressing room.
You're wonderful, Billy, darling. Here I've brought champagne. Let us drink a toast to Richard Marchmont's new leading lady.
Come in.
Excuse me, there's a gentleman outside who says he wishes to speak to the lovely thing on
the
English side.
Tell him I'll be out in a minute.
Now, for you, Miss
Burke,
is it cold?
What's this? Lieutenant, the Honourable James Hogo Cowdrey. Oh, my word. You asked me.
Oh, I'm back. Tonight I was bewitched by your beauty. Captivated by your charm.
Oh.
And it's hard to believe that I'm here now, seeing you in the flesh.
My dear, perhaps you'd better slip something off.
Mr. Burke, your performance was magnificent. We were all enchanted. I say, that captain was with you. He's a bit immediate, eh? What?
Well, Lieutenant, this is he.
Oh. Splendid performance, old man. First up.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I must be dashing, having dinner with the Duchess of Staines.
Oh, really? Well, give Mother my regards. Miss Burke, I haven't much time. Tomorrow my regiment sails for India. But I want you to know I shall think of you always. Here, would you accept this as a token of my regard? It's a lock for my massage.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant. I am honored.
Treasure this, my dearest Benny. And perhaps now and then in the gay whirl of your theatrical career, you'll spare a thought for a simple cavalry officer with half a moustache. Farewell!
Dear Pogo, little did I know then the part he was later to play in my life. In the years that followed, Richard Marchmont and I appeared in many successful musical shows. In 1918, the French Footlight Review.
1921, College Capers.
1923, Samuel Cosford's Vanities of 1924.
1926, Good Time Girl.
Oh. Good time, girl. I shall always remember those tuneful little melodies. Oh, wouldn't you like a doop-a-doop-a with me?
A boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop.
Oh, can't you see a doop-a-doop it would be?
A doop-a-doop, a doop-a-doop, a doop-a-doop.
Are we too good a bodeo do? Or don't you know how?
Oh, yes, I know how. Let's do it
in the ragtime. It was during the run of this show that I heard again from Pogo a postcard.
India, Thursday. Fiendishly hot, chaps dropping like flies, No place for a white man. Wish you were here, Pogo.
Then, in 1928, came Happy Feet and another postcard from Pogo.
India, Friday. Still as hot. Just been pig sticking. Thinking of you constantly. Yours, Pogo.
1931. Head over heels had all London talking. Heard again from Pogo.
India, Saturday. Slightly warmer. Been riding all day. Yours tenderly, Pogo.
Well, that was the last I heard of Pogo for some time. In 1934, we opened at the Shaftesbury with OK for Love. Once again, Richard Marchmont was my leading man, and I'll never forget one of the songs we sang together.
You're better for me than a weekend in Paris. Better by far than a suit made of Paris. With you I'll succeed.
Better for me than Wagner's Last Paris. Better by far than a ride on a fiery steed. With you, I'll succeed. Unfortunately, the show didn't. After that, Richard and I had two or three flops in a row, and soon the magic name of Binny Burke had vanished from theatrical scenes. Even Pogo seemed to have forgotten. His postcards became less frequent. Just one in 1937, which simply said...
It doesn't get any cooler out here. Pogo.
Eventually, I was forced to sell my country place, my house in town, and then help came from an unexpected quarter. In 39, war was declared, and Richard and I were in business again with Elsa. Thank you, boys. We love you.
And now, Binny and I would like to recall some of our past successes.
Tell me, pretty Miss Maker, I walk with you along the day.
Of course you can, my lord.
What is it?
Look there in the front row. That officer.
You don't mean...
Yes, it's him.
How can you tell?
Oh, I know that face anywhere. Look, only half a moustache. Pogo!
Binny!
Pogo!
Binny, will you marry me?
Oh, yes, yes, when?
When all this ghastly business is over.
After the war.
No, after the contract.
And married we were. After the war. I gave up the theater and settled down happily to become just plain Mrs. James Pogo Cowdrey Captain Retire. Richard Marchmont, oh dear Richard, with his out-of-date style, his voice almost gone, he's still working. He's in salad day. So, as for me, nice to know that people still remember me. Quite often, they come up to me in the street and say...
Excuse me, madam, but aren't you the famous lady who married that fellow with half a moustache?
No.
From loss of memory?
No, Ted, I'm happy to say he's no longer what they call non-compost mentis.
Ah.
Mind you, for a long time it did look as though it was going to be permanent. F and me, we tried everything. We tried everything. We even took him down the labour exchange. Now, there's familiar surroundings for you. Now, that was no good. In the end, we were forced to resort to really desperate measures.
How do you mean?
Well, we had to appeal to his intelligence. The best idea... She got some notion that word associations might do the trick.
Word associations?
Yes, Ted, you know. Yeah. You say something, and then I say the first thing that comes into my head.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, brown ale.
Ah, very much, but he can't hear me. Not too much of a head on it, please. Anyway, F wanted to give it a try, so I just let her get on with it.
What were you doing there?
Oh, Ron. Look, don't you remember when we got back here, we sit down side by side on this very sofa just as we are now. And for a while, no words but be spoken. And then, suddenly, you become masterful. Right out of the blue, and fearlessly, you say...
Give us a kiss, eh? Give us a kiss there.
Then you remember. Your memories come back.
Yes, I remember it all now.
Yes, then kindly keep your distance.
Now, come on, Ed. Give us a kiss.
No, Ron, not now. I'm not in the mood. Besides, you're forgetting very strange.
Oh, hello, hello.
Just like old times, eh?
No, Mr. Glum, nothing of the sort. Ron is back to normal.
I see, yes. Well, son, welcome back from outer space.
Oh, thank you, Dad.
That's my voice. Yes, I am deeply indebted to you. You know, you deserve a medal for this. They ought to give you the oboe.
Mr. Glum.
Oh, I just popped in for was this tin of black lead. Ma Glum's doing her eyes and she can't find her massacre. All right, nursey. Just you carry on with the occupational therapy.
Well, we must face facts.
Oh?
I was asked to cooperate in nurturing Ron back to health. And now that I've succeeded in so doing, well, I feel that my obligations have, as it were, been fulfilled. And no useful purpose can be served by my remaining here.
Yes. Is there no compression within your heart? Can you honestly stand there and say that there isn't even the tiniest spark of love for Ron left in your... And I use the word rhetorically, bosom.
Yes, I can, Mr. Glum. Whatever was between Ron and me is now no longer.
Oh, yes, let's face it, you've gone right off him, haven't you?
Well, Mr. Glum, after all, thrice guilty, twice shy. Besides, it's only fair to point out that since the day we don't mention, I have been going out with one or two other boys.
You going out with other men? It don't seem decent.
Mr. Glum, what are you implying?
Well, nothing. I mean,
I'm at perfect liberty to go out with whomsoever I please. After all, I am a free agent. I've got no ties.
You can have one of mine, Ed.
Well, Ethel, I suppose you're absolutely right. It was very wrong of me to criticise your conduct. However, I see no good reason why you two shouldn't still just be, well, like what they say in the papers, just good friends.
Well, I suppose not.
I mean, there's no harm in you just coming round here now and again just for the purely social evening.
No, suppose there isn't. Well, our relationship would have to be clearly understood. No hanky-panky, Ron.
No, yes. I'll use my muffler.
Well, good, that's all settled then.
Yes.
I hereby declare the meeting of the Romanesque Friendly Society duly open. Well, I'll nip off then and leave you two to indulge in some earnest chit-chat.
Oh.
Now, Ron. Now, I said chit-chat. I want you to get it through your thick head as regards your conduct while I'm out the room. You're not in any way.
Why not, Dad?
Because it's...
No.
So, you got that straight, Ron?
Yes, Dad. I must at all times behave in a gentlemanly manner, and on no account must I ever do what you whispered about.
Oh, bloody. He's got it right. Well done, Ron. Well, ta-ta to both of you. Well, that's that. Romanesque of friends again. I can get back to the real business of life. Drinking. I wonder what they're saying. No, I'd better not listen. No, it wouldn't be hypothetical. Oh, I don't know. One little earful won't hurt. I'll just bend down by the key. I better take the key out first.
I'm enjoying this, eh?
Same,
Ron.
Hey.
Don't you like it?
I prefer something more
sophisticated.
What have
they got? It gets better as it goes along.
Shoot!
Yes, please, concentrate.
Ron, how could you? After all I whispered to you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Dad, we're only watching the television.
I've heard that before. You weren't watching nothing like that.